want to bring one more message in this series that we have called He's Just That Good. He's Just That Good. I preached about the goodness of God last Sunday and really all of April. And I've enjoyed just talking about the goodness of the Lord because He really is good to us. I don't know if I've driven that home emphatically enough or if you're hearing me clearly, but Jesus really is good to us. And I really think this message is crucial because it gets to the root of our struggle. I appreciated a ministry moment today, just honest and real talk, and the worry, it gets so great, and life gets so overwhelming because all of us struggle. Those who are leading on stage, those who are serving all over the campus, they look strong on Sunday, but we struggle. We wrestle with life. It's almost like the cartoon you have seen, I'm sure, hundreds of times throughout your life, where the angel is sitting on one shoulder and the devil is sitting on the other shoulder. And the one I'm listening to often depends on my current circumstances. So how does that play into the goodness of God? Let me tell you how it plays in. He is so patient with us. He's so patient with us while we're struggling, while we are wrestling. He remains steady even when we are struggling. We don't want to struggle in our faith. No one wants to struggle in their faith. But the reality is we do. No one wants to stumble. No one wants to make a mistake or to fall or to mess up. But the reality is we do. We don't want to doubt, but we do. And yet God is good to us through it all. So why do we doubt? If I could answer that question today, if I could bring some clarity around that today, why do we doubt? I think there's probably a few reasons why we doubt. I think there are questions in life that we are not able to answer. And because we do not have an answer, then doubt is born and lives. There are situations that seem unfair, situations that absolutely are unfair, and that creates doubt. And then also there is hurt that we have not been able to resolve, maybe hurt inflicted by another person, pain that comes from a family member or a relationship or just things that happen in life. So you've got questions that you can't answer. You have situations that are unfair. You have hurts that you cannot resolve. And the result is that we wonder, how could there be a God who cares anything about us? How can there be a God who is interested in us? How can there be a God who knows anything about us? I want to submit to you today that your doubts handled properly can be a catalyst to stronger faith. Your doubts handled properly can be a catalyst to stronger faith. Why do you say that? Because your faith is a journey, not a destination. That means you're never going to arrive. You're going to keep moving toward and keep coming to and keep lots of arrivals in your spiritual journey. It's a journey. It's not a destination. There is no magic. You are here. There is no GPS announcements. You have arrived at your destination. You're never going to hear that because as long as you're living life, things are going to keep coming. Those unfair situations, those hurts that are hard to resolve, those questions That do not come with ready-made answers. So I remain on the journey. And here's what I believe. Church should be the safest place to ask hard questions. We think, I got to get right to go to church. No, you got to come to church. And we're going to help you figure it out. You got to come to church, and we're going to help you process through. You got to come to church, and we're going to work our way through this journey. Because the strongest faith isn't a faith that never doubts. The strongest faith is a faith that grows through your doubts. I'm teaching on the Sunday after Easter. That's where the strongest faith comes from. It grows through doubt. And someone is feeling better already today because you're dealing with doubts and you're in the struggle and you feel guilty about it and it's overwhelming you. And someone else may have stayed home today. Someone else may be online. I just can't face it again. I'm going to go get in that church with all of those people who are so strong. No, you're going to come to church with people just like you, people who are struggling, people who are pushing through their doubt, people who are bringing their doubts to the presence of God. Because church is the safest place to ask the hard questions. Yeah. So look at John chapter 20 today. I want to read a few verses and work through this story that happened right after Easter. Really, the day of his resurrection and the following Sunday, that's where this scene in Scripture is unfolding. John chapter 20, verse number 19. It's on the screen if you want to follow there. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Of course they were. But look at verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And now you know why Thomas is called Doubting Thomas. He will forever be known as Doubting Thomas. I don't think it's fair. I think Thomas is getting a bad rap. I hope to bring dignity to his doubt today. No, I don't know exactly where Thomas was. I don't know why he was not with the other disciples. That is his crew. That is his family of choice. Those are the people that he's been walking with for the last 3.5 years. I don't know where Thomas was or why he stepped out or stepped away. I don't want to assume anything bad. I don't want to assume that Thomas had fallen out. I don't want to assume that Thomas was just overcome or overwhelmed, and yet maybe he was there for a few moments. But hear me today. Thomas' questions don't make him bad. They make him human. They don't make him a bad guy. They just make him a human being, because we all struggle. What I'm asking you to do is not change my name. Don't add something to my name. I don't want to be doubting Daryl because I have a bad day. I don't want to be doubting Daryl because I struggle 1 week. I don't want to be doubting Daryl simply because I have questions or because I want some kind of proof in my life. No, we don't know where Thomas was, but I know that none of us like to miss it. I know there was something breaking inside of Thomas when he returned and they said, man, you missed it, bro. Look, let me tell you what we saw. Let me tell you what it looked like. Let me tell you what we experienced. And Thomas, in his frustration, Thomas, in his doubt, Thomas, in his overwhelmed state, said, you know what? I'm not going to believe it until I see it for myself. I love what Oswald Chambers said. Doubt is not always a sign that a man is wrong. It may be a sign that he is thinking. Thomas was thinking. Thomas was considering. Thomas was working through it. Thomas was processing his faith. He just wants to know for himself. He just wants to have his own understanding. That's why I like Thomas so much. Others are throwing him away. Others are done with him. They're changing his name. But Jesus responds to Thomas personally. Can I just take a side note and tell you that what others think about you is none of your business? What others are saying about you is none of your business. The only one you need to be concerned about is what the Lord thinks about you. It's an audience of one. I'm just concerned about my relationship with him. You can talk about me. You can shade me. You can say whatever you want to say. Well, as long as I know that he and I are good, then I'm going to keep on moving in the right direction. What does he think about me? I'm here to tell you that he loves you. I'm here to tell you that he favors you. I'm here to tell you that he is for your spiritual success. He is interested in building your life. He is interested in maturing you and growing you and moving you to a place of maturity. That some of the things that have bothered you in the past, some of the things that have hurt you in the past, some of the things that have stumbled you or kept you back in the past, that those things will not bother you anymore. There may be new things, but we'll face the new things. But the old things are not going to get me like they used to get me. Why? Because Jesus is interested in my success. So let's look a moment at how Jesus responds to Thomas' doubts. The Bible said a week later in verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. So this week starts exactly like last week. The disciples are in fear of their lives. They just saw their leader be crucified. They assume they are going to be next, and they are going to die the same death that Jesus did. And so they're behind locked doors. Locked doors are no problem for Jesus. He comes right through. 8 days later, here he is and saying, peace be with you, and says to Thomas, verse 27, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. 8 days later, those might have been the longest 8 days of Thomas's life. Those may have been the most difficult days that Thomas ever lived. Maybe I should have just went along. Maybe I should have never left. I should have been where I was supposed to be. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I took a left when I was supposed to go right. I don't know why I slept in when I should have been there serving. I don't know why. I don't know why I do the things I do when I get in trouble, when I get under pressure, when I feel the stress of life. Thomas has spent 8 days beating himself up, but here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. And what I love is not just that Jesus came back to where Thomas was. I love that Thomas was in the place where he knew Jesus would come. It's not just that Jesus came, it's that Thomas showed up. Can I tell you that if they say in the business world that 95% of success is just showing up, I'm going to tell you about spiritual success. If you'll be where you're supposed to be, you'll always have from the Lord what he wants you to have. Now, I'm trying not to bother you the Sunday after Easter, but I feel my help. If I'm just where I need to be, and I celebrate you for showing up, I celebrate you for being in the right place. I know there are people serving today that are underneath life. I know there are people singing today that are in crazy circumstances. There are people working all week long who are underneath the struggle and the difficulty of life. But we keep showing up. And Jesus came to Thomas when Thomas was doubting. Why? Because he's just that good. There's no other explanation for it. He's just that good. He shows up in our lowest moments. He shows up on our most difficult days. I'm going to tell you the times I have felt God the strongest in my life, it's on the days that I was struggling the most. Think about it. Think about what you've been through. Think about what you've dealt with. Think about what you have survived and what you have suffered. The Bible said that he is drawn to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When somebody's going through it, when someone is under it, when somebody's laying on the dining room floor crying out, that's when he comes and says, I want to make sure that you have my assurance. I want to make sure that you have my peace. I want to make sure that you have confidence in me. 8 days later, I don't know who this eighth day is for. I don't know who this week after Easter is for, but I'm telling you, Jesus showed up today because you showed up. He's showing up while you're doubting, showing up while you are struggling, showing up while you are underneath the weight of worry, and he has a miracle for you. He gave Thomas just what he needed. He needed reassurance. He needed confidence. And you know what? Thomas went from doubting to shouting. I'm about to shock you, Joanne, but I'm coming to a close. Shocking everybody in the room. What? It's the Sunday after Easter. Pastor's still tired. Come next week. But let me give you a couple of points as I close this message. God is not distant in your doubts. Sit with that a moment. Chew on that a second. God is not distant in your doubts. What does that mean to me? That means that Jesus is not a standoff Savior. He's not standing off to the side saying, I'm going to wait till they get just a little stronger. I'm going to wait till they get just a little better. I'm going to wait till they walk a little straighter. I'm going to wait until they are not struggling quite as bad. And then I'll come in when they get themselves cleaned up and they get holy. No. He's not distant in your doubts. He's right there. He's right there close. He's right there where you are. If he feels far from you right now, if he feels as though he is a long way from where you are, I dare you to reach out to him. I love that line this morning. Your worship louder than your worry. If you'll worship even in the midst of your doubt and in the midst of your struggle, if you will reach out to him, he's already reaching for you, because God is not distant in your doubts. Let me tell you something else. The greatest doubters often become the strongest believers. The greatest doubters often become the strongest believers. You see, the devil will try to use doubt to drive you away from God. And he's successful so many times. But God will use doubt to drive you to God. If you just make up in your mind, you know what, I'm not going to allow my doubt to become questions and questions that I can't answer or things that I can't satisfy in the immediate. We want everything immediately. I say this often, but you know, we're the generation that wants our cheeseburger in 30 seconds, and if we don't get it in 30 seconds, we're leaving a one-star review. Why would you want a cheeseburger that cooked in 30 seconds? I love it when they tell me, listen, it's going to take time because this is hand-formed. Oh, really? I just got excited. I just made sure my seat was comfortable. I'm excited about what's coming. Lord, I just got hungry. Anybody else? That hit you different. God will use your doubt. Don't allow your doubt to become bitterness. Don't allow your doubt to fester into something and the enemy to cheat you out of God doing a miracle in your life. You need to become one of those greatest doubters, become the strongest believers. Let's go a little further into the story. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11... So all we're missing is Judas, because he made his decision and went out and hung himself. So it's no longer the 12. So the 11, that means Thomas is there. He had his 8 days of crisis, his 8 days of difficulty, his 8 days of struggle. But Jesus came and said, look, Thomas, look, touch this right here. Here it is. Here I am. I want you to believe. And I want you to bless those who believe and who have not seen. I want you to preach. I want you to share your experience. So then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Wait a minute. We got Thomas fixed up and now someone else is struggling. We got Thomas settled, and now someone else is dealing with doubt. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Look at the first two words of verse 19. Therefore, go. Go. I know you've doubted, but I want you to go. And history teaches us that Thomas preached faithfully and was martyred in 72 AD. So 72 years after the death of Jesus, Thomas is preaching. He's declaring the gospel. He's ultimately killed because of his faith. 72 years later, 7 days of doubt. And on the eighth day, Jesus comes and proves himself, shows himself strong. And apparently, Thomas never looked back. I called this message, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I'm ready now. I got this figured out. I've got this solved. It's been a journey. It's been a process. I've had highs. I've had lows. I've had ups. I've had downs. But my doubt did not disqualify me. It led me to answers. It led me to right questions. It led me to opportunities to grow and to mature and to become. Can I tell someone in this room that your doubts have not disqualified your faith? Faith isn't the absence of doubt. Faith is the means to push through your doubt. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley," can I just call it the shadow of doubt? Don't let your doubt be a dead end. Keep walking. Keep asking. Keep searching. Hey, I'm good to go. I had a rough few days. I had a challenging season. I got knocked down. I'm still trying to get the dust off of me from that fall, but I'm good to go. It hurt. I was disappointed. I let myself down. I let you down, but I'm good to go. I had a moment or two, but I've seen what I needed to see, and I felt what I needed to feel. And now I'm moving on the journey, because faith is a journey, not a destination. Father, I pray for people in this room today. I pray for people watching online. Some of them are going to watch throughout this week. Someone signing into YouTube, they missed Sunday, and there they are on Thursday, Tuesday, Friday. Someone is overwhelmed in doubt, struggle. Where are these questions coming from? Where is this pain coming from? Why can't I not just shake it off? Why? You're on a journey. Process. Today, like Thomas, I hope to dignify your doubts. You're not crazy. You're not weak. You're not flawed. You're not junk. You're not made up of God's leftover parts or pieces. You're just a human who has some difficult days. But today, I know where I'm taking the struggle. Show me your glory. One thing I ask, one thing I see.
Show me your glory.
Say it.
You're all I want.
You're all I
need. Show me your glory.
Say it again.
One thing.
Bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. There may be someone in this room today who needs to make a decision. We call it a yes moment. It's the moment that you decide to say yes to Jesus. It's that moment that you decide, I'm not going the wrong direction another day. I'm not doing the wrong thing another day. I am making up in my mind to go where Jesus wants me to go, to be who he wants me to be. The Bible said the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. He's good to us because he knows that ultimately we're going to recognize that without him, without his goodness, where would we be? Maybe you are coming to that realization today. Maybe that light bulb is coming on for you right now. If you're in this house, I want to pray with you, and I want you to pray with me, and together we're going to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe it's been a long time and you're just not living the way you know he wants you to live. Today all of that can be settled, solved, fixed, turned. He'll show you his glory. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I'm through with that. I want you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of everything in me that's not you. Today I ask you to fill my life, fill my mind, turn my heart with things that are you. Save me. Change me. I can't promise I will never doubt again. But Lord, I'm on my way. I'm good to go. And I will be who you have called me to be. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. I know they crucified you on that cross, but on the third day, you rose again. And you rose to save me. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, if you prayed that with us today, two ways. I want to put a resource in your hand. It's called Following Jesus. It's 58 or 59 pages, easy reading. You can read it over the next few days. It's all about next steps. It's all about where to from here. They're on either side of the auditorium at these yes banners, physical copy if you're online, or if you'd rather get that to your phone, just text the word follow, F-O-L-L-O. W to 404-777-4701. That'll be on the screen for a few moments. It'll come right to your phone. You can read it right there, but don't miss an opportunity to get this in your hand and join us next Sunday. Be a part of a brand new series and a brand new month and so many good things. We'd love to baptize you. You can text FOLLOW to that number. We'll happily get you connected. You can fill out a connection card. Just write baptism right there on the card. We would love to see you taking your next steps. Anybody ready? Anybody excited? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. Have a great week. Say it one more time.
One thing I ask.
One thing.
One thing I see.
Show
me your glory. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I need. Show me your glory. You're all I want. You're all